Hello, you're listening to Youthcast, and I'm your host, Molly Adams. When Beth first started college, she knew she was interested in Islamic and Middle Eastern studies. But when she began taking classes, she found she was more interested in the spirituality of Islam than its politics. Then, in 2008, this 6-foot-tall Irish Catholic girl from upstate New York made the decision to convert. A confident and deep-thinking young woman, Beth describes how this new identity feels natural to her, even when it is causing tension in her family. "I Didn't Know That You Were a Muslim" is a short portrait of Beth's spiritual journey by independent producer Tali Singer. After the story, please stay tuned. Listen to a conversation Tali and I had about finding a good story while you're still in school and why being an independent producer is not for everyone.
I knew that when I touched my forehead to the ground and when my heart was elevated above my head, that things just felt right. It was the way things were supposed to be. I was raised Catholic. My mother's side of the family was very religious. I enrolled in a summer camp that was a Western Christian-themed horseback riding summer camp. And I was told that either you're with Jesus or you're with the devil. And I was told that my Catholic family was going to burn in hell. I had become very good friends with a Muslim. And I remember sitting at the summer camp and asking them, "Is he wrong?" And I remember the pastor looking me straight in the eye and telling me that Islam was the work of the devil. After that, I was just incredibly disenchanted with the whole idea of, you know, evangelical Christianity. Learning about this whole idea of elevating and purifying your soul so that you can be closer to God really, really struck me. So I chose not to tell my family right off the bat. It was actually a freak incident. So my parents were helping me move out after my junior year of college. And in cleaning out my room, they found a sheet of facts about me that someone in my sorority had written. And one of the facts on it was, "Beth is a recent convert to Islam." So I remember coming back to my room after cleaning some other things up. Everything was packed away, and all that was there was the sheet of paper sitting on my bed. And my parents just looked at me and said, "We're going to the hotel. We'll see you later." And they just walked out. And that was rough. It really hurt. I remember laying on my bed and sobbing alone for a few hours. And I guess the theory in my house is we just kind of don't talk about it. If it's not brought up, no one's feelings can be hurt. But it's definitely a constant undercurrent of tension within my family. But I like to think that I can show people day after day that, you know, I'm just a white Irish girl from rural upstate New York who also happens to be a Muslim. And I can be true to both of those identities at the same time. Allahu Akbar.
That was "I Didn't Know That You Were a Muslim" by Tali Singer. And, oh my goodness, here she is right here. I can ask her some questions. When did you start getting into making radio?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly, like, when I first really got into it. I know I was interested in high school. And in my senior year, we had this requirement to do kind of like a mini internship type of thing. So I wanted to do a radio thing, and I heard about an independent producer who lived in the area. I went to high school in Portland, Oregon, and so I did like this 2-week mini internship with her, and then I kind of kept on working with her, and I still work with her. So,
what was that like? Yes. What was that like working for an individual as opposed to a radio station?
It was challenging, maybe, because you don't get the sense of like how a whole organization works, and there are also fewer people to meet because you're just working with one person, so you get like fewer perspectives on radio. But I guess there's also an advantage because I don't know. I think people who are independent have sort of a different perspective.
Who was it that you were hanging out with?
Dime Roberts.
She is a talented lady.
Yeah, definitely. Basically, I learned how hard it was. Like, she's constantly applying for different grants and things like that. Like, it's this constant struggle to get your work heard.
So was that daunting or inspiring or both?
I guess a little bit of both, because, like, if I end up being an independent, then I have a lot to learn in terms of business skills, and that's kind of scary for me. But it's also inspiring to me that she decides what she's interested in and she just does it, you know?
So how do you find your stories and your subjects? How did you find, you know, because you definitely have, if you go and look at your profile on PRX and the pieces you have up there, there are all these characters.
That's something I still struggle with, and that's sometimes a question, like, when I'm talking to people who are farther along than I am, that I ask them that question sometimes. And I guess it varies. Like, the story about this guy, Dave, who's the florist who's offering this $2,500 reward for whoever finds him a wife. So the friend who I was working with, he was getting some flowers for his girlfriend, and he just walked into the store, and Dave handed him this flyer that had this whole personal ad and everything, and my friend thought, we have to do a story on this guy.
What was it like being at Third Coast as a young person, like, not totally out as an independent?
It was really exciting, but I also have to say really overwhelming, because they're just to be surrounded by all of these radio people, you know, and I feel like, wow, these are my people, but they're also, they're a lot farther along than I am and know a lot more than I do. So it was intimidating, kind of.
Well, you were very assertive. That's good. Probably more, because I went there as a young person too, and I don't think I talked to anybody when I was there.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel like, you know, I wish I had talked to more people, or I wish I had had more in-depth conversations, but it's so hard, you know, when it's such a short period of time and there are so many people to meet.
So what's next for you? Are you going to keep doing these kind of one-off stories, and then do you have plans to keep doing radio when you graduate?
Oh, I definitely plan to keep doing radio. So you know how there is that pitch panel thing? Interestingly, it's also like a religious theme, and I pitched it to this podcast called Vox Tablet, which is a Jewish-themed podcast. So basically, I want to do a story about Jews who did not grow up observant, but at some point in life decided to become more observant. So I kind of want to get their narrative and, like, what made them decide to make that change, and yeah, so what was the process that they went through, and why did they go through that process?
All right, well, thanks for talking. Have a fun day, rest of your day at school.
Thank you. Hope you have a great day, too.
Und Sie würden hier also keinerlei ärztliche Behandlung in Anspruch nehmen, weder in körperlicher noch in psychischer Hinsicht?
Nein, ich danke tausendmal.
Wahrhaftig? Aber dann sind Sie eine höchst studierenswerte Erscheinung. Mir ist nämlich ein ganz gesunder Mensch noch nicht vorgekommen. Nun, frühe Gefühle Ihrer untadeligen Gesundheit. Schlafen Sie wohl. Und auf Wiedersehen.
This has been Molly Adams for Youthcast, a project of Generation PRX. Generation PRX is a website devoted to supporting, connecting, and distributing youth-produced media. Miss an episode? Check out the oldies but goodies on youthcast.org. And if you're looking for more frequent entertainment, head over to facebook.com/youthcast, where we post fun audio and internet and video stuff, anything you can imagine. So become a fan today.
Youthcast, where radio makes you wish you were young again. Talk to you soon.